Amen. Praise the Lord. We certainly are blessed, aren't we?
Yes, sir. Amen.
To have the Savior that we have, the God in heaven that loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son.
Amen.
To come into the world, to save us from a fall that we could not save ourselves from. Man could not save himself from the fall. The fall of the first man reflected upon all humanity. As by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, the Bible says, and death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And so we were all born and conceived in sin, needed a Savior. I was going to go back to something I was preaching along Wednesday night about repentance and faith, and deal specifically with repentance this morning. But the Lord had put this thought on my mind, and I just want to try to obey him. In Matthew chapter number 27, Matthew chapter 27. You can also find this story in the other three Gospels. This is one of the stories that, one of the few stories, let me say it like that, that all four Gospels have written down. And it is about the crucifixion of our Lord. In Matthew 27, for sake of time, I'll begin at verse number 22. Pilate saith unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" They all say unto him, "Let him be crucified." And the governor said, "Why? What evil hath he done?" But they cried out the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it." Then answered all the people and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. That's as far as I'll read this morning. I encourage you to take your Bible periodically and go through Matthew 27, Mark 15, Luke 23, and John 19, and read again the story of our Lord giving his life for us. Too many times I think that we just read over the crucifixion of our Lord like we read over a lot of the Bible. We just kind of pass it by. We've read it and it happened. Oh yeah, I've read this before. I've seen this before. But I think if it's going to affect our heart the way that God really intended for his word to, we need to stop and consider what we're reading. We should really consider the context, the text, every word that's been said. I mean, when you think about even a little word like "all," The people that he came and ministered to, fed many that were hungry, raised the dead of those that were grieving, healed the sick of those that had been sick all their lives. Now all the people are saying, crucify him. All of them. Everybody. With the exception of his disciples and his earthly mother, very few. And many of them kept a great distance. Outside of John, who was there at the cross with Mary. But many of them, of his own disciples, kept a good distance from that scene. Why? Because it was a death scene. You see, the word that he uses when he talks about the cross, when he talks about the crucifixion, when the Bible speaks of that over and over, he's talking about a cross as an instrument of impaling, taking a sharp instrument and impaling something to bring capital punishment upon someone. That's what the cross, that's what crucifixion is. The cross was the tool. Have you ever wondered why that the cross and the nails wasn't kept up with? Because man would fall down and worship that stuff. Listen, it wasn't the nails that went into his hands that's important. It was the hands that the nail went into. That's what's important. It's not the nails that was in his feet that was important. It was the precious feet of our Savior that bore the nails. Amen? That garment that many of them, they've idolized, saying that it was his death wrap. My goodness. I mean, that's not what was important. It was the man who left the wrap and went back to heaven. Amen? That's right. It was the man, Jesus, the God-man that gave his life. I begin to think sometimes, and I want it to move me when you think about the nails going into his hand. I mean, can you picture that? What it would have been like for them to have, the Bible said, I mean, many events leading up to that. Can you just imagine him coming from the garden, betrayed, and from the prayer hour, from the praying all night, his sweat was as great drops of blood coming down upon his face. Can you imagine seeing our Lord under such a weight as his soul? Isaiah said his soul was being made an offering for sin. And his body is going to bear our sin. His body is going to bear our sin. On the cross, on the tree, there they take him and they bring him to several different places. And all in the meantime, men, there's a group of soldiers. They say it's about 600 of them when they were mocking him. And the Bible said, they did spit upon him. And the word used means a continual spitting. Can you imagine 600 men passing by one man and continuing to spit on him? I'm not talking about just one man or two or three come and spit in your face. I'm talking about 600 men. Spitting on a man like he's some kind of a dog. Like he's some kind of a, I don't know what. I mean, they didn't look upon him. When they looked at him, he was as nothing. He was like a worm to them. Our Lord is bearing, Bible said, the shame. They stripped him of his own clothes, put a robe about him, put a crown of thorns on his head, beat it down with a reed, smote him in his face, plucked out his beard, spit upon him, kept spitting upon him, took it back off, and then put his clothes back on him. Right in front of everybody. I mean, treating him like the worst kind of criminal. There was no crime. There was no fault. There was no fault in this man. There was no sin found in him. None ever could be found. The Son of God, and he came for this. He came for this. He was born for this. God sent him into this world for this, because he loved me and you. Amen. And Christ endured it because he loved me and you. Amen? He could have called 12 legions of angels. Is that not right? He could have, but he did not. Why? Because he's the only one that could save us. You think about that. Listen, there's no one else that can come along and accomplish what he is going to accomplish on that day. Nobody else could. Nobody could endure that. They could not endure. Listen, even if they thought that they could endure some of the suffering, they could not endure the sin being placed upon them. The sin of the world. The sin of the world. The world likes to, holler. Religious world likes to holler. The Jews crucified him. Sure they did. And the Gentiles did too. It was the sin of the whole world. Amen. Every soul laid upon him. God laid on him the iniquity of us all. We were all guilty. Our sin laid upon him. It's not just one people. And it's people that do that that hate the Jew. They hate the very thought that God has still got a plan for them. Amen. Brother Brandon was talking in some respect about that in Sunday school this morning. Romans 9, 10, 11. Israel's past election. God chose them as a people. Didn't choose Gentiles. Didn't choose the Romans. Didn't choose the Chinese. Didn't choose South Americans. He chose a little group, a little family right over there in the Middle East. And he started with a man named Abraham. Amen? Their past election, God called them out as a people. Gave them a promise. You say, well, that's unfair. Hey, that's what God wants to do. Who are you? Who are you or me or anybody to say, why would God do that? God can do as he pleases. Paul defended that thought in the book of Romans as well. Amen. Who am I, the clay, to say, why hast thou made me thus? Why am I a Gentile, alienated without God? Well, hey, God hadn't forgot about us. Amen. God hadn't forgot about them. Israel's past election, their present rejection in chapter 10, because they had rejected him, his blood be on us. And on our children, boy, they paid for it, haven't they?
for saying such a thing as that, bringing it upon the Bible said he came to his own, and his own received him not. Their present rejection, but their future restoration is in chapter 11. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew, is what the Bible said. Amen? That's them. God's got a plan for them. Oh, yes. God will save them. Not all of Israel is Israel. Not every Israelite born in Israel will be saved. But there will be a nation. Amen? There will be those that God saves. Why? That's in God's plan from the foundation of the world. And I'm not talking about God picking some and leaving some out. Listen, you'll never hear that come out of my mouth that God won't save some while he picked out to save others. That's not in the book. That's not in the Word of God. I can talk and anybody else in the Bible about God's election, predestination, and foreordination all day long, but you'll never get around God's giving free will to man, free will to choose. Amen. Free to say yay or nay. And God always gives man the answer. Choose life. God tells him, choose life. Say yes. Amen. God, it's not his will that any perish, but all should come to repentance. And then why? Because his son died for all. It's too big a sacrifice to leave anybody out. Think about him being punctured in the hands and the feet. They mocked him. They crucified him. The Bible said in verse 35, and they crucified him. They crucified him. They laid him down on the cross. And they took his hands. And they put these huge nails, spikes. These crosses were... They were massive. They had to be big enough and sturdy enough to hold a grown man suspended in the air until he died. I promise you, it wasn't 2 1-by-6s slapped together. The Bible called it a tree. It's like a tree being dropped in that hole. Massive. There a man's body suspended, impaled. Hands and feet to suffer. They wanted him to suffer. Men that were crucified were sent there to suffer, to die. They had no second thought of putting him to death humanely, like people try to say today, humanely. No, he was dying, and the crucifixion, the very word that they use for crucifixion means an open death. Death openly, or death opened what they wanted to say. You could stand there and watch a man die. Literally. Listen, I don't know about you, but that's something I don't want to do every day. But they were doing it every day. And not just one, but many. And on this day, three. Two that were thieves. One that was the Savior. They crucified him. The Bible says in the book of Mark, it was the third hour and they crucified him. And they crucified two thieves.
one on his right hand, one on his left. Luke said, when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. You think about the pain that he bore that day. I'm just going to give you a small alliteration. Not very much. I'm not good at that. But the pain. The pain of the nails. I can't even comprehend what that was like. There's no way in our mind can we comprehend what that was like. To have that. Go in through the flesh between the bone. Not a bone was broken. And nail him stretched high and feet on a block. And there he hang. And it just suffering to breathe. He had already been whipped. His flesh just, no doubt in strips from where they had whipped him. And of course, the spitting and the buffeting and the mocking. See, the spitting and the buffeting, that was pain to the flesh. You see, all of the mocking, that was to get the soul and the spirit to suffer. Have you ever felt like nobody loved you? What an awful thing. Could you imagine being drugged through the street? And them very people that, you know, somebody's sitting over here in their house, they don't love me. Could you imagine them and thousands of others up and down the road screaming at you, spitting at you, and mocking you? They mocked him. The pain within the prayer that he could pray, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I'd say that's probably one of the most known prayers of our Lord on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How could they? I mean, how could they? Our Lord is praying for them, praying for us. The people stood beholding. Bible said, I believe it may have been in Matthew, could be in John, and sitting down they watched him there. They just gazed after it was all done. They just all sat there, watched him, looked on him. You want, what are they thinking? What are they thinking? We did it? Hey, is he going to die now? I mean, what are people thinking? They're just sitting there watching him. After all the mocking and after all the pain, and he's still alive and he's praying. He got a hold of a few. It got a hold of a thief. It got a hold of a Roman soldier that said when it was over with, surely this man was the Son of God. That come from one of the hardest sinners in the crowd. Not everybody turned to this Savior, this man. Not everybody saw it that day. But a thief saw it. And a Roman soldier saw it. And every now and then, somebody in a church sees it.
Amen.
Amen? Every now and then, there'll be a soul that'll really get a picture and realize He's the Savior of my soul. They can be saved. Amen? They can see what He did. The prayers, many prayers that He prayed. They offered Him vinegar. I can't even imagine that. Could you imagine in Palestine, as hot as it gets? I've been there. In Israel, I was, first time I was there, I was walking around dress shoes like this. And the sand under my feet was burning my feet to the ground. I mean, literally. I was trying to find a cool spot. And you don't find me. Because everywhere you walked, it was literally so hot if you was in the sand. I couldn't hardly stand it. There he is. I don't know when he's had a drink of water for the last time. And they've drug him to the extent. About the worst I've ever been is, you know, in an athletic event when, you know, I've just went and you just get so thirsty. You know what I'm saying? And that can't compare to what they did to him. And they offered him vinegar. That don't quench your thirst, people. That only makes things worse. It's like offering a man seawater. You know, men finally get so thirsty that they'll drink that seawater thinking they're going to get some kind of relief, and it only dries them out. Makes them that much, all that salt. There he was at Calvary. They mocked, saying he saved others. Let him save himself. If he be Christ, the chosen of God. He knows who he is. They're still questioning. And they're trying to get him to question. They're doing everything they can. The devil, no doubt behind every bit, doing everything he can to get him to come down. He saved others. He can't even save himself. Mocking. There's nothing worse than a mock. Somebody just mocking. Stabbing. I mean, it's like stabbing you in the heart. Literally. A severe mock. I mean, boy, it can just get, if you let it. There they are, stabbing at him. He saved others! He can't even save himself. If he's the chosen of God, just stabbing at his soul. There he stayed on the cross, crying out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He had to die alone. The sin of the world placed upon him. Whew. If thou be Christ, save thyself and us, the last thief finally said. And the one thief that saw him looked at the other and said, dost not thou fear God?
Don't you fear God? Me and you both up here, and we're up here because we're guilty. But this man, he ain't done nothing. He has done nothing. Nothing amiss. I'm glad he looked at the Lord and said, Lord, remember me. I'm glad that that thief's conversation didn't stop with the other thief. But it finished with the Savior. Amen? Listen, you may have a lot in your mind. You think about the Lord, and you might even be willing to tell some of the guys down on the job. But have you ever stopped and had that conversation with the Lord? Really? Lord, I want you to remember me. I want you to remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus gave him the greatest promise he had ever been given. And he didn't have to steal it. He didn't have to hurt nobody for it. It was the gift of God. A man stole all his life. And here a man has given him the free gift of grace. Well, that's a big change. Amen. From what he's used to taking and stealing. Now he's been given the free gift of eternal life. Isn't it wonderful to know you've been given that free gift of eternal life? Christ has given it to us. Why? Because he can give it to us. Because he died for us. Because he paid for it. People that came together to that site, the Bible says in the book of Luke, saw all the things that were done. I mean, right down to where when that centurion glorified God and said, certainly this was a righteous man. That's what Luke said. In another gospel, he said, surely this was the Son of God. Those people that came by beholding the things that were done smote their breast and returned. Mad. I mean, taking a fit mad. John said he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him. And two other with him, on either side, one, and Jesus in the midst. Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Boy, they wanted that sign down. And he said, what I've written, I've written. I ain't writing it again. That's one of the only few things he ever did write. You actually think he got his hands washed because he took it and washed his hands in water? No, he had a sin on him he's going to have to answer for. Jesus even mentioned it when he mentioned Judas's sin. He's talking to Pilate, and he said, he that delivered me unto thee, Judas, hath the greater sin. In other words, you've got a sin, but he's got a greater sin. No, he wasn't free of sin. Pilate wasn't free of sin. But I'm glad something in that man. That thought. He said, I've got the power to deliver you or to crucify you. Jesus said, you wouldn't have no power at all, except it were given from heaven. Nothing's going to happen to me today that my heavenly Father didn't want to happen. That's how Jesus was at the end of his life. You know, that'd be something that helped me and you through great trials. You know it? Knowing and nothing. And whatever happens, our heavenly Father knows about it. So, finally, Jesus, at the end, when all was fulfilled, he had received the vinegar and said, it is finished. And gave up the ghost. I don't know about you, that I know of no other man that can release his spirit into the afterworld just on command. But he did. He said, I have power to lay my life down, and I have power to take it up again. And here he laid it down. And 3 days later, he took it up again. I love our Savior. I love his story. I love the gospel. The power of it. There's so much power, even in the presentation of the gospel of Christ. It was his passion, the Bible talked about. It's his passion. And the power in his passion is what will save sinners. His love. I want you to stand. I'm done.